It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hit at 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Lauren Robinson.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan, WFAN.
Welcome to the program. I'm Lori Rubenstein, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan at 888-808-1019. Producing tonight, we are going from Mr. Paul Rosenberg into Rami Lavi. Maybe Paul will give us one of his special weather reports for the doubleheader in Atlanta, because it's bananas. We have a crazy day here. The baseball season is supposed to be over. We are supposed to be heading to the postseason. And the whole point of the new non-tiebreaker, not playing tiebreaker games, was that they weren't going to have a day like this. But the hurricane had other ideas. And certainly, of course, people's safety, human lives, way more important. But here we are. And Mets win behind David Peterson, an absolutely studly effort by David Peterson. How many times have we seen Mets pitchers come up small in must-win situations? David Peterson rose up and pitched a gem, just refused to lose. The Mets win. The Braves lose, the Diamondbacks win, and with all that nuttiness, we have three baseball teams, and we've got a doubleheader between two of them, and as bizarre as all the machinations are, Mets and Braves, whoever wins the first game, basically has, that's it, they're in. And now in the second game, they're going to try and sit whatever star players they can, and not use any of their better pitchers in game two. But with rosters being the size they are now, you don't have that many other options. You got to play somebody. And some pitchers are going to be left out there to dry and just soak up innings. But it's 18 innings there. And craziness. So we got to talk about the Mets and their game on Sunday, and David Peterson, the play of Francisco Lindor, playing with that bad back, had a great game, and a lot to talk about with that Mets game, and then look ahead to the doubleheader, pivotal, on Monday, tomorrow, and both the strategy for game one, and how both teams are handling starting pitching, and then how you handle game two. And what do you do there? And how can you... Yeah, I was talking to Paul Rosenberg about it a moment ago before I got on air. You know, it's harder to just, I don't know, not throw a ball game, but kind of lay down and die in baseball than it is in other sports. If you're in the NFL and you go ahead in the second half, you're the Eagles and you play Nate Sudfeld at quarterback in the second half to try and lose a ball game, get a higher draft pick, and F the Giants out of the playoffs. If you want to do that, that's easier if you play a horrendous, third string quarterback who has no business being on the field there. Well, you're going to lose a football game. In baseball, that's baseball, Susan. Baseball's weird. So Yeah, whoever wins game one, if the other team is down by 8 runs, then they can waltz out a position player as pitcher and really throw the game. But until that time, it's, you know, some of these guys, there's only so many players on a roster. Some of these guys are going to play 18 innings of baseball on Sunday and then turn around and get on a plane and fly somewhere. One of those teams may be flying, if they split the doubleheader and that leaves the Diamondbacks home, then that means one of those teams, in this case, if they split, it'll be the Braves, have to fly all the way out to San Diego. The Mets flying back, which is so stupid. They were there in Milwaukee. Couldn't have worked out better from a travel standpoint. And they got to go to Atlanta, play 18 innings, and then fly back to Milwaukee. So both these teams have to play 18 innings. Some of these guys are going to have to do that. Like, yes, some players you can have, for some of them, for a Lindor, obviously, if the Mets win game one, Lindor's not playing the second game. Brandon Nimmo, likely not playing the second game. Iglesias, likely not playing the second game. But after that, like, how many guys? You don't have that many position players, bench guys. So guys are going to have to play, and they're going to have to play. You know, Francisco Alvarez, if the Mets win game one, Francisco Alvarez will play game one, and Luis Torrens will play game two, but then that's it. Everybody else? Pete Alonso is going to probably have to play like 18 innings at first base. Marc Vientos, important cog in the for the Mets, probably going to have to play 18 innings at third base. There's only so many guys you can sub for. So a lot of guys are going to be on their feet. And even if you're trying to lose a game, that means there's still a reasonable amount of decent players. I mean, you can picture a guy like a Travis d'Arnaud is going to love if the game one trying to F the Mets. So it is going to be bananas, bonkers, and the pitching strategy for it. I'll tell you right now, this is what both teams are doing. It makes sense, which is both teams, it seems, are going with the lesser, less experienced starter for game one and holding off their more experienced veteran starter, hoping they win game one, and then they don't use the veteran in game two, and then that player, that pitcher, in the case of the Braves, it would be they'd be holding Chris Sale for game two. If the Braves win game one, then they can keep Sale and let him pitch game one of a playoff series. In the case of the Mets, they're going to hold Luis Severino. If the Mets win game one, then they won't pitch Severino in game two, and he'll be the game one starter for the Mets in the wild card series. But the hard part, again, is whichever team loses the first game, they're going to then put out their other good pitcher, and that means you're starting somebody on short rest in game one after you probably depleted your bullpen. So it's bananas. It'll be, if you're a casual baseball fan, just watching it, get out your popcorn. It'll probably be fun and interesting. If you're a Mets fan, eek! If you're a Mets fan, how you feeling? Are you, Paul Rosenberg asked me this before we went on air. He said, are you confident about the Mets tomorrow? And I said, confident? Confident's not really the right word. I would say I chose cautiously optimistic. I am cautiously optimistic that the Mets can win one of the two games. Especially because whoever loses the first game, the second game, the other team, not like they're going to be trying to lose, but in the second game, they will be trying not to use any of their better pitchers as much as possible. And they will rest a few of their better starting position players. So you hope you can win under those circumstances. Cautiously optimistic. But between, are you confident Mets fans, or are you ready to vomit? because it is going to be absolutely nail-biting. And all you can hope is that, look, either team and the fans are hoping game one turns into a rout. And the winning team, you can sit back, enjoy, relax, and know that you're in. And by the way, you know what, Rami, I'm thinking of this too, is whichever team wins, what's the protocol? Has Major League Baseball ever had this before? What's the procedure and protocol between games? You have to play a doubleheader, but whichever team wins, aren't you supposed to do the whole champagne and pop the corks and drink the champagne and the, you know, and put on the goggles and everybody has fun and all that kind of stuff? Do you do that between game one and game two? I don't think you can. But then let's say you win game one, then you sit whoever you can, you lose game two because you really don't care. And then let's say either one of these two teams, do you celebrate after 18 innings of a doubleheader when you are now absolutely exhausted and you have to hop on a plane? And if they split, that means Braves to San Diego, Mets to Milwaukee. You're exhausted and have to be in the playoffs tomorrow. Like, what's the celebration protocol there? Like, pop one bottle of whoop-de-doo and, hey, nice job, and a fist pump, and let's get on the plane? Like, even the celebration, what's the protocol?
Some handshakes, a handshake line, I guess. I don't know.
Like, we haven't seen it usually. And the sad thing is, because that celebration, so 162 games, 6 month baseball season, spring training before that, you're about to go to the postseason. These guys live for that. And here we have it. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess whoever wins game one, I guess you celebrate, but it's a little mini celebration because after game two, you want to get on the plane. And then whichever team, if you split, yeah, that second team, not much of a celebration. You get on the plane. The whole thing is bizarre. Unprecedented. All right, so we got to get into that. We're going to break down the Mets game from today. We're going to look ahead to the strategy there. But also on Sunday, the Jets. And just because this whole thing with the Mets is unprecedented and we're, you know, crazy and exciting and interesting and bizarre and fun, that doesn't let the Jets off the hook for what is an atrocious loss, an embarrassing loss. I mean, any two teams can lose, but how in God's name can the Jets, if they're supposed to have some sort of, you know, and by the way, the offense was trash, so I'm not letting the offense off the hook, but I'm going to start with the defense here. Because Sean Payton, let's start here. Sean Payton thoroughly outcoached the Jets. Outcoached Robert Saleh, outcoached Ulbrich, outcoached Hackett, all of them. And after the whole Sean Payton going against all NFL etiquette last year by humiliating Nathaniel Hackett, you replace him and say, this is like one of the worst coaching job like ever. My predecessor was awful. And then you're like, oops, sorry, I forgot I'm no longer broadcasting and I can't speak my mind and say how bad a job Nathaniel Hackett did as a head coach here with the Broncos. And the Jets were supposedly upset, insulted, all this sort of stuff, okay. And here they come into to MetLife on a rainy day with a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix. And in the first half, I kid you not, the Broncos had -7 yards of passing. Now, when I first saw that stat at halftime, because I always look at the halftime stats and I write them all down here for you, I admit I was expecting a Jets win, and then I'd go back and regurgitate the halftime stats for you and, you know, give you a live look on that or whatever. So I look at it and I go, oh, -7. Huh. Well, it's hard to get negative passing yards. And I was thinking to myself, oh, well, there must have been a sack or something that moved them back. And then I double check it. I'm like, oh, no sacks. That they just had negative passing yards. Like, they're throwing the ball and screen passes and stuff and getting tackled before they move forward for a yard. So negative 7 total passing yards in the first half. That's how bad they are. What does that tell you on a rainy day? Like, what that tells you, and Sean Payton, if it wasn't obvious, comes out of the tunnel and in the tunnel basically says, they're losing 6-0 on this rainy day. He's got negative 7 yards of passing. And Sean Payton, interviewed at halftime coming out of the tunnel, actually says, I think this is working in our favor. He says, I think this is the conditions, the weather conditions, all this working in our favor.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Because why? You look at these rosters and the two deep, and the Jets have the more talented roster than the Broncos do. There's no doubt of that. The Broncos have a good defense. That's a good defense and a very good defensive coordinator. No doubt about it. But it's not like a star-studded defense. They're just a good defense that, I mean, Patrick Surtain is a star. They have him. Dominant player. Probably the best cornerback. Sauce Gardner. It's between Sauce and Surtain. But Surtain, probably the best corner in all of football. But it's not like a big-name defense in general. They just play well. They play smart. And there they were against future Hall of Famer, multiple MVP Aaron Rodgers, and 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers, and 5 sacks. They had Aaron Rodgers, I think there were 15 hits against Aaron Rodgers, so a lot of pressure. Rodgers was 24 for 42, five sacks, and 15 hits, constantly under pressure. And this is the guy who makes quick decisions. Bo Nix, 12 of 25, so that's under 50%, 60 total yards passing, and threw for a touchdown. But no sacks, 2 hits. That's it. They hit him twice. Remember when Sam Darnold was a rookie and famously played against the Patriots and was hit so much that he came to the sideline, Sam Darnold, and sat there stunned, and we saw him mouth like, I'm seeing ghosts. Like, that's what's supposed to happen. When you have a top defense, which the Jets theoretically do, and you're playing a rookie quarterback on a rainy day with a team that frankly doesn't have a ton of offensive weapons, and they have -7 yards passing in the first half, so you're not really petrified of their passing game. What should you do? You should load up the box at the line of scrimmage. You should blitz the crap out of this rookie quarterback so he sees ghosts. And then while you're at it, you can also stop the run because it also works for run blitzes. Pack the line of scrimmage, put pressure on, stop the run, and hit the quarterback. And by the way, if you're doing that and you're getting in his face and hitting him enough, not only are you sacking him and putting them in negative situations, you'll probably generate turnovers. But the Jets didn't do that. Last week, they blitzed. Last week, they generated pressure. Last week, they looked like a good football team. But they let Sean Payton embarrass them. Had a much worse roster. When you look at his offense, much worse roster than the Jets. And yet, they beat them. Comes into the Jets' home and beats the Jets. Just a poor, poor job. And yet again, the other problem, which is of course a common Jets theme under Robert Saleh, is lack of discipline and penalties. And the Jets, again, 13 penalties, 90 yards. 13 penalties accepted, 90 yards. And a lot of them were pre-snap penalties. Some of them were lack of discipline after the play penalties. And Robert Saleh can say again, it's unacceptable and all this sort of stuff. But you know what? It's obviously not unacceptable. It's obviously quite acceptable. Because, Rami, it can't be unacceptable if for 3 years we've been seeing unacceptable penalties that the other teams are accepting. So obviously, these are quite acceptable penalties.
I saw somebody wrote this online, quote tweeted that clip of Robert Saleh and wrote, unacceptable since 2021.
Yeah, exactly. It's so like a clearly, restaurant, a bar you open. Yeah,
yes,
since 2021.
Because
yeah,
this has been happening. So yeah, if it's unacceptable, what changes? It's lip service. It's empty words.
Yeah. Where's the, you know, that we talk about that. Where's the accountability? The only way that...
And Rogers said that. Rogers said, or because when they talked about the cadence, yeah, if you saw this...
I did see it.
When they talked about the cadence, Robert Saleh goes, well, maybe that's something we have to clean up. They clearly had a hard time with this today. And Roger said, or we can hold them accountable to it.
Yeah,
because
he's
used to a standard.
I know. I will say, I watched Robert Saleh and I watched Rogers, and I will say that I thought Robert Saleh wasn't necessarily saying we should remove our pre-snap cadences. I think he was saying we should clean it up.
I agree.
And I don't think he was trying to remove it. And then the way it was relayed to Aaron Rodgers, it made it seem like...
Shocking Jets media would do that.
Yeah, it made it seem like the media was implying that Robert Saleh was saying somehow to limit that or whatever, which I didn't take that to be the case. But the point being, regardless of what Saleh had said, Aaron Rodgers saying, let's hold guys accountable, although, and again, in fairness, that clip being taken out of context, if you look at the whole thing, is Aaron Rodgers also saying that he thought it was an aberration, that they had only, you know, if you go back a week,
he
they
said
had
one previous one the whole year.
Yeah, it had been like one pre-snap penalty. So it hadn't been a problem with the cadence. On this day, it was a comedy of errors, although if you're a Jets fan, I don't think you were laughing. But it was one of those sort of, you know, if it can go wrong, it would. The other thing I'll say, you know, for Aaron Rodgers, 40-year-old, getting hit 15 times, is by the end of the game, it seemed to take a toll. He wasn't walking great. And I'm not saying he's, you know, massively hurt or anything, but now this team has to get on a plane with their 40-year-old quarterback who got the snot kicked out of him because they couldn't block for him, and get on a plane and fly to London And now they're going to play the early London game against the Minnesota Vikings, who look like a rebuilding team before the season started. But you know what? They are, right now they look like maybe one of the favorites out of the NFC to be a Super Bowl team. And their head coach has them believing, excited, positive. And old friend Sam Darnold, you don't think that Minnesota is going to want a little bit of a revenge game there? Because I think they probably will. They have a terrific offensive line. And I think they are going to look to run the football and force the Jets to stop that. And then Sam Darnold's going to take some shots down the field. And their shots, as opposed to, you know, I said, under-talented, lack of options and weapons is the Broncos, but certainly that's not the case for the Vikings. Arguably the best wide receiver in the entire league in Justin Jefferson, but they also have Addison now back healthy, and Aaron Jones, former Packer, coming over and complementing that football team. That is one talented football team now, playing and believing. So well coached. So that's tough if you're the Jets. And not to say this can't all get fixed and righted, but right now Aaron Rodgers does not look like he is on the same page with any Jets wide receiver not named Alan Lazard. Certainly he and Garrett Wilson don't seem to be on the same page. Back-to-back plays in this game, Garrett Wilson and Wilson and Gibson both were not where Aaron Rodgers expected them to be late in the game. And look, do I believe that Aaron Rodgers is right in that situation? Because it turned out there was a ton of pressure. And if you're a receiver, you have to know. Somebody has to be a hot read. Somebody has to be on the same page with his quarterback. But it's also up to the coaching staff to find a way to get that quarterback and those receivers on the same page. It's not game one. It's game four. Game four, they should be on the same page by now. Too much talent for, you know, Garrett Wilson. By the way, you know who looked good and seems to be on the same page with them? How about Mike Williams? Tremendous game from Mike Williams, who just seems to be getting better and better. And by the way, seems to look quite healthy. He should be a bigger part of the game plan.
I don't think he was on the field the second to last drive. And I think Rodgers probably said, because the last drive he was on the field, he obviously draws the pass interference. Rodgers must have been looking over at the sideline like, hey, can we get this guy out here?
Right. He was one of the top receivers. You know, when he was with the Chargers, they always had Keenan Allen. But Mike Williams is an outstanding and very talented wide receiver. And we can see that. Smart player. Great hands. He may have, as much as Garrett Wilson may be the Jets, you know, when all he's playing well, you know, best all-around wide receiver or whatever. But if you're saying who has the absolute best hands on the team, it might be Mike Williams. And ability also on the, you know, do a toe tapper or a toe dragger and body control and all that sort of stuff. Super talented receiver. So expect him to earn more reps, more trust from Aaron Rodgers. But the Jets, look, football's a week-to-week game. As good as they have looked, they can turn around, fly to London, beat the Vikings, and you know, a week from now we can be talking about are the Jets a Super Bowl contender and all this sort of stuff. It can flip like that. And the talent is there. But the Jets played like a big pile of dew on Sunday out at the Meadowlands. And they were bad on offense, they were bad on defense, and they were actually bad on special teams. Terrible penalty by Irv Charles there, and he's a great special teams player, but inexcusable penalty, early hit there. And then, of course, the field goal miss. You know what? I mean, my goodness. hit a field goal at the end there, and we're talking about, hey, well, it's a learning experience, but the most important thing for the Jets was you came away with a W. That's what you had to do. You beat bad teams, took care of business. Cliche, cliche. I'd be using them, but I'm not because they lost. So it was everything. They were outcoached, bad schemes, poor adjustments, not on the same page, undisciplined, tons of penalties, poor offense, special teams, and you want to tell me that the defense played so great because they held the other team to 10 points. Well, you know what? It was a rookie quarterback in the rain without a ton of weapons on this team, and the Jets and their vaunted defense got zero sacks. Zero. And forced him into zero interceptions. So, yeah. You want to, I don't know. You think the defense played well enough? Offense was struggling. Offense was poor. I agree. But when that happens, defense, complementary football, could have played better. 888-808-1019. Got a lot more to do. I mean, look, there was the massive trade in the NBA. The Knicks shook the league. The Liberty won a playoff game. The Yankees finished out the season in style with a win. There's tons to talk about, but we're kicking it off with Jets and Mets. 888-808-1019. If you want to join the fun on social, on Twitter, hit me up on X at L Rubinson. I'll read comments there as well. Quick break, right back with your calls. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.